with Patrick Woodward.
Welcome to the Worthing Podcast with me, Patrick Woodward.
For a lot of people in local government, the current system isn't working. Local government bore the brunt of austerity 15 years ago. You know, the funding was absolutely hacked and slashed to pieces.
When we're out on the doorsteps in election time, potholes are one of the things that we get asked about the most. And it's frustrating for the residents when we have to push back and say, actually, that's not our council. And they don't want to see us shirking kind of responsibility and pushing it to other authorities.
Change is in the air. The biggest change in how Worthing is governed for 50 years. I normally steer well clear of politics on the Worthing podcast, but with reorganisation of local government and Worthing Borough Council set to close, it seemed important to spend a bit of time looking at this and seeing how it's going to affect you and me in the years to come. Just in case you're not up to speed with all of this, Worthing Borough Council is set to be abolished and replaced by what they call a unitary council covering a much wider area. On top of that, an elected mayor will be given responsibility for an even bigger area, including all of East and West Sussex. And all this is set to happen in the next couple of years. I talked to two people, local journalist Jamie Hailstone on what's happening, and the leader of Worthing Borough Council, Sophie Cox, on why all this change and how things will work better, apparently, as a result. First, Jamie Hailstone sets out some of the reasoning behind all this, starting with one of the oddities of the present system.
Worthing, your rubbish is picked up by Worthing Borough Council, but if you go to the tip, it's run by West Sussex County Council. The car parks in Worthing are run by or under contract from Worthing Council. The roads around Worthing are all regulated and dealt with by the County Council.
Some people are a bit up in arms about the whole thing, aren't they? Well, what kind of objections are coming forward?
I mean, some of this is more tangible than others. I mean, in Sussex, we have, shall we say, a slightly older population than the average. And an awful lot of those people won't necessarily be digitally savvy. They won't necessarily want to do things on the web. They will want to deal with people in person. If you just have one council dealing with everything, how are people going to access services? You know, are they still going to have an office that they can go to in Shoreham or an office that they can go to in Worthing?
Locally, yeah.
You know, that local access. Also, Sussex is a very diverse area. You know, the issues that affect Worthing aren't necessarily the same issues that affect even Stenning or Findon. They're very different communities. And how do you have one council that's going to sort of meet everybody's needs? If you also throw into the mix Crawley and Gatwick and that sort of area, you know, these are very sort of different areas and they all have different needs. And so having one system that suits everybody is going to be a bit of a tall ask.
I mean, how kind of political is this? I don't particularly want to get into politics on the podcast, but, you know, the Labour government comes to power. We've got a Labour authority in Worthing, and it's all suddenly happening. Is that a coincidence, or would it have happened anyway, do you think?
As galling as it is to say, this isn't just about Worthing. For a lot of people in local government, the current system isn't working. Local government bore the brunt of austerity 15 years ago. You know, the funding was absolutely hacked and slashed to pieces that they get from Westminster. They don't have a lot of freedom. Probably about 80 to 90% of all the money that local authorities spend is mandated by central government. It's on things they have to do.
Yeah.
There's no wiggle room or choices. And actually, over the last 15 years, certain things have become much bigger issues for local authorities than were previously big issues. Social care is a massive one. Obviously, in an area like this, you've got a high number of people that do need social care services, particularly sort of elderly and vulnerable people. And the cost of doing that has risen exponentially. Some of that is, you know, people are just living longer, which is obviously a good thing in itself. But, you know, there are huge costs on that level. Also, the cost that councils face dealing with special education, children with special education needs, has absolutely, you know, gone through the roof as well.
Yeah. So does this mean that if you get devolution, councils will have more responsibility, more autonomy to do what they want with their money?
Yeah. So there are two sides to devolution. One is that the district councils and borough councils are going to go. Yeah. That's it. That's already been agreed. And then you get this unitary authority. So that's a one size fits all. But sitting on top, and this is where it gets very complicated, Sitting on top of the unitary authority will be a combined authority and an elected mayor for Sussex.
Right.
And that elected mayor will be for West Sussex, East Sussex, and Brighton and Hove. And that elected mayor will have a considerable amount of power. So they're going to be given powers over housing, highways, economic growth, health, the environment, adult education and skills. So they're going to be given a whole war chest. They're going to be given money. They're going to be given powers, and they will be able to put together a package for this whole region. Now, there are already elected mayors in place in various parts of the country. Sadiq Khan, obviously in London, Andy Burnham in Manchester.
Manchester, yeah.
And they've had some, maybe not exactly the same deal, but they've had a similar kind of sort of package. And it's very much up to them. So, for an example, the A27, which I'm sure is a thorn in many people's sides,
Yes.
that's the responsibility of the Department of Transport up in Westminster. They get to choose where the money goes, what the priorities are, where it should be repaired, what should happen to it. Under things like, the devolution thing, the government will give the Sussex mayor a potload of cash and the powers to do these things and say, right, it's up to you.
Journalist Jamie Hailstone on some of the ways things may change when local government gets a makeover. One of the major figures driving it all forward in Worthing is Labour councillor Sophie Cox, the leader of Worthing Borough Council. We met up at the town hall and I asked her where the initial thinking about all this reorganisation started.
So I think that the government had set an intention for devolution, and in Sussex we made the decision to go for the devolution priority programme, which the government had put forward a kind of expressions of interest for. So we put ourselves forward for it on the priority programme, which means that we are on a very quick timetable compared to other areas. So I think it is happening incredibly quickly. The reason why we put ourselves out there for the priority programme is really to start to see the benefits faster. So we see local government as needing a massive overhaul, and the quicker that we go for devolution means that the quicker we can start to see some of those benefits starting to take shape.
I mean, were you aware of particular problems in Worthing that meant you wanted to get onto it as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I came in as leader in July last year, and I've been a councillor now for a couple of years, and I've also been an officer in the past at a different council. So I've seen the challenges that local government is facing, and it's not a sustainable model the way that it's being run at the moment. I mean, Worthing's got its challenges financially. We've got a real housing crisis that we don't see being able to solve in the next couple of years unless we have a massive change in how things are done, change in funding, and starting to work on a much bigger scale and start working more collaboratively. So the intention was always to try and work together on building a better model of local government.
Something that seemed to go wrong quite early on and seemed to upset people was the fact that the elections were cancelled. And people got quite concerned about that. People were talking about, a breakdown in democracy and so on. Was that a wise decision at the end of the day, do you think?
So the borough council elections haven't been cancelled or postponed. I mean, the county council elections that were meant to happen in May this year were postponed due to the fact that we're on the priority programme, and that was a decision that the government took after a request from West Sussex County Council to do that in West Sussex. So it wasn't a decision that we were directly involved in. However, I think as due to the fact that we're on the priority programme, it did feel like it was a move that would align ourselves with the fact that we're on that speedy process that's going through. I mean, there are lots of conversations going on at the moment, and having elections during this period, I think it's for the government to decide whether or not that's the right decision.
Right. So where are we now in terms of this whole process? What point have we reached?
Yeah, so right now I'm working very closely with the other West Sussex leaders of district and boroughs and of the county council, and we're really working hard towards our September submission. So we need to put a submission to government in September which outlines what our preferred option is for local government reorganisation. So the two processes that are happening in Worthing at the moment, we've got the devolution programme, which is the election of a mayor in May next year, and the launch of a new regional authority, which will happen next year. Whereas we've also got the process of reorganisation, which means that all of our councils are going to be abolished that have got two-tier areas. So looking at us in West Sussex, we've got West Sussex County Council that sits above us with education, with highways and transport, and then we've got the lower tier authorities such as Worthing Borough Council and Chichester, Ada, all of the districts and boroughs across West Sussex. So the plan is for the reorganisation to happen and bring all of these together in new unitary councils. So what we're working on at the moment is a plan for different footprints that could work. Lots of work going on to look at the viability of what these new footprints would look like, making sure that these are viable from day one, looking at the council tax, business rates, demand, the different demographics and how that might look going forward. So at the moment we're looking at the different footprints and we've identified three that we think are viable across West Sussex, and that's currently out for consultation and for engagement at the moment.
Where do you think it's going to land at the end of the day? What's your sort of gut reaction, if you like?
With the footprints?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's three different options that are out there at the moment. We've got a West Sussex County footprint, which would look at, as it is now, at the West Sussex boundary, but also having the services from the district and boroughs. And then we've got one that sees Chichester, Arran, Ada and Worthing together. And then there's another footprint which looks at Chichester, Arran and Worthing and splitting Ada. So Ada would go north with Mid-Sussex, Horsham and Crawley. So those are the three kind of options that we've got out there at the moment, and we're seeking kind of views on what that would look like in practice and in reality, and also seeing what our partners think about that, what the public think, and that's when we'll make a decision in September. We've got some formal decision making at the council to make to put that forward. So yeah, one of those three options would be the ones that we support.
So, I mean, this is Worthing. It's the Worthing podcast. And I think some of the concern is around what's going to happen about the needs that specifically relate to Worthing, and how are those needs going to be met when you've got to look to wherever, you know, somewhere Chichester or Brighton or somewhere even further afield. Who's going to be concerned about Worthing?
Well, you'll still have your local councillors. So whatever happens with these footprints, you're still going to have local councillors who are fighting kind of for your area.
And where will they sit? Where will they meet? Where will they be?
So I think until the footprints are decided, that won't be known really, depending where we are. And I guess looking at then when we see where the assets are, there'll be lots of kind of buildings, town halls, and thinking about which one is, that'll be for the new unitaries to decide as to where those offices do become. But I do feel strongly that the government do have a big push on community governance and trying to make sure that, yes, they're building these new unitary councils, but there are really good examples of how places have been kind of really championed in these new bigger councils. So there are lots of examples around on how we can do that. I mean, there have been talks about town councils and about creating parishes. Worthing's an area that doesn't have parishes, town councils at the moment. And I was asked a question at our full council meeting last week about whether or not I would consider that. And I'm always quite open to the fact that I think we should be doing a review of how we have our community governance. Yeah. And as part of the work that we've been doing to build a sense of place and identity to put into our submission in September, we've been really asking the public about what their priorities are for Worthing, and to make sure that we embed a lot of that and a lot of community decision making into what we're putting forward, because we do think that we need to have a strong voice for Worthing.
So if you end up with various, you know, local councils, like you say, aren't you just creating the same problem again with lots of different bodies dealing with different areas? Does it defeat the object of devolution?
No, I don't think so. I think that having a unitary council is a much better way of running things. When we're out on the doorsteps in election time, potholes are one of the things that we get asked about the most.
I'm
and
sure.
And it's frustrating for the residents when we have to push back and say, actually, that's not our council. And they don't want to see us shirking kind of responsibility and pushing it to other authorities.
Yeah.
So I very much see the benefit of us all working together on these types of issues, and also bringing together services where at the moment housing sits with us, a lot of the health, the prevention, young people work sits with the West Sussex County Council. So bringing in and working much more on a prevention model to housing, to homelessness, I see that as being a massive advantage of this process.
Right. So from where we are now then, what is the next step? What are we going to see next? What are we going to hear about next?
So you'll see, so the engagement runs until the 13th of August, and then after that we've got the submission to government in September, where all of the councils across West Sussex will be taking that through their own, I believe it will be a cabinet decision, and full councils that will go through in September. So you'll hear about that in September, and then we await the government's decision as to whether what their next steps will be. We believe they'll then have a formal consultation with the public on what they're going to be taking forward. So we believe that will be early next year, and then the election of a mayor will be in May 2026.
Right, so possibly all done and dusted by the middle of next year?
So the new count after that, you'll have the regional authority will be set up in May 26, and that will be with the leaders of the upper tiers as they are at the moment, as we won't have our unitary councils elected to. We believe there'll be elections to the unitaries in 2027, and then the official kind of lights off date for Worthing will be 2028.
Is it a good thing? Is it positive? Are you excited about the possibilities it might bring?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the first chance for us to redesign local government in about 50 years. So I think that we are taking it quite seriously. We want to make sure that this is going to bring the benefits, and we want to try and embed as much of the possibility of transforming services in there as possible. I think there's lots of opportunity in it. I'm sure there'll be many challenges along the way. It's not going to be an easy process, but I think we're all ambitious about how we redesign the services to make sure that it really does try and benefit the people at the most.
Councillor Sophie Cox, leader of Worthing Borough Council. Given the chance to chat to Sophie, I took a moment at the end of our time together to find out a bit more about her and what drew her into the sometimes murky world of local politics.
I've been quite involved in my community for a little while now. I grew up in Worthing, and I've got three children living in Worthing as well. So I've been quite kind of just keen to make changes that will benefit the public and also benefit the children kind of growing up in our town for future generations. I was a council officer a few years ago before I had my children, and I saw sort of a lack of younger people coming forward and wanting to have a say and to be able to make some of those decisions. So that was one of the reasons that led me to get involved. I was inspired by a lot of the work that Becky Cooper, our MP, was doing, and mm-hmm. I got to know Becky very well and joined the Worthing Labour Group quite a few years ago now. So it's been a big challenge. I've been taking on the role of leader after just a year of being the councillor was quite a big step, but I've enjoyed the opportunity to be able to make some good changes.
How do you find the time? Because it must be a very busy job.
Yeah, it is a busy role. There's lots of juggling going on, trying to organise sort of the kids and being able to be here and to be able to make all the decisions and be involved in lots of meetings. But I'm really committed to making these sorts of changes. I think it's important that we do have a really diverse and different demographic on the council. And it's been great to make some changes to make sure that can happen. We do online meetings where we need to and we get those decisions made. So it is challenging, but it's also really worthwhile to be able to be a councillor and make decisions about the places where you live.
Inevitably, there are going to be people who don't agree with things that you do. You must get some opposition, some criticism maybe. How do you cope with that on a personal level?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to develop a bit of a thick skin. I think that's one of the things that I've definitely found since becoming a councillor, probably more so since becoming the leader. But I think it's all about making sure that you're sticking to the principles of why you're doing these things. There will always be adversity to what you're doing. I think that's one of the things. You've always got the flip side to something you're going to be doing. So that's one of the things you have to learn quite quickly being in politics. But I think as long as you're sort of true to your values and you know why you're doing things and you're doing things for the right reasons, then that's how you kind of get through it.
What do you do to relax? Do you have any downtime? How do you use it?
Yeah, I absolutely love gardening. So that's one of the things that I do. I've not done as much this year as I usually would do in the previous years, but I love gardening, being with the family and taking them out, days out, and being at the beach as well. That's one of the things I love about living in Worthing.
Lovely. Sophie Cox, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Sophie Cox. If you want to find out more about the reorganisation and devolution plans, and importantly, to have your say, there's an online survey at www.shapingwestsussex.org, or you can pick up a paper copy at the local library or council office. The survey closes on Wednesday the 13th of August. And that's it from this edition of the Worthing Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the usual podcast channels like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit www.worthingpodcast.com. I'll see you again soon.
News and views of Worthing.
The Worthing Podcast.
With Patrick Woodworth.